some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.17 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop out here at St. Thomas Sports Park, of course, at the Titans training facility, where the Titans and Patriots will engage in a joint scrimmage beginning at about 9:50 Nashville time. Public is welcome. Get a chance to see maybe the greatest coach and the greatest quarterback of all time in Bill Belichick, of course, and Tom Brady. And let's bring in Brett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio. Brettster, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're great. And, you know, in as much as it's always fun to come out to camp, you look at Brady and you see the great, at least in my opinion, sorry, Peyton Manning, you know, who is right up there, but the greatest quarterback of all time.
Oh, no, Joe Montana.
Peyton's at least on that.
Five.
At least in the conversation.
Mark, how dare you live in the state of Tennessee and besmirch the great name of Peyton Manning?
Oh, God. Whitechek would just automatically just Bigfoot me on this.
Heel Mark Howard right now. Heel Mark Howard.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Brady's the best. He is.
He really is.
And his six rings say it. But also Belichick. Because not only, you know, he's the coach, he's the general manager, he's been the offensive coordinator, he's been the defensive coordinator. And there are other great coaches in NFL history. I know that Don Shula is going to hate it when Belichick passes him in five seasons. And there are, you know, Lombardi and all those guys, you know, Bill Walsh, Chuck Knoll. None of them had to do it in this era of free agency like Belichick has with an ever-changing cast. Yeah, he's kept his quarterback. And I love how everybody says, well, he's got Tom Brady, so it's easy. No, it's not. And if you've seen how close those Super Bowls are, I think some of it comes down to coaching acumen. Obviously, it's, you know, a lot of it's the players. But when I see Belichick, to me, I see the greatest coach in the history of the league.
Look, as much as it pains me to say this, because I think I'm like the rest of the league and I'm tired of the Patriots, but you have to tip the cap to them.
Yep.
Because of what you just said. In the salary cap era, where you're turning over 30% of your roster every year, pretty much. You got the greatest quarterback who probably should just waive, you know, the 5-year eligibility and put him in the Hall of Fame the day he hangs up the cleats. But it's amazing what they've been able to do, and they are the definition of dynasty because of those parameters. Now let me say this. I got to looking last night at the game release from the Patriots for this preseason game and looking at the tail of the tape between the two teams. Because we'll talk about what we saw in practice yesterday, which was impressive. But what I was like, what separates the Patriots, who won 6 world championships, away from a Titans team that was 9-7? They were just 11-5. What's the big difference besides Belichick and Brady, right? And just looking at things, I mean, the biggest one, 27.2 points per game average. The Titans, 19.2. Giveaway takeaway is a big, big, big one. Titans finished -1. They finished +10. That's huge. Time of possession, they averaged about 90 seconds longer a clock average per game. Those three things are huge in that.
And I would say red zone opportunities without even looking. And that's been a part of it, too. I want to ask you another question about the Titans because, you know, it's great talk show fodder, but you almost feel like, you know, you're throwing red meat out there to your listeners. And that is the internal and external view of Tannehill and Mariota, how the Nashville media views it as opposed to the national media.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I did a hit on a national radio deal over the weekend. And they were like, all right, so Tannehill's going to start week 1. What does it take for him to do? You know, I'm like, well, hold, pump the brakes a second. You can talk about all of the analytics. I mean, I heard you guys playing Greg Cosell of NFL Films from when he was on Midday 180 talking about his footwork from the 8 plays he had in Philadelphia in preseason game number 1. But, you know, you're right. It's a completely different dynamic because our folks are around here every day taking a look at this. Now, what we don't know is what the, you know, perception is inside this building we're parked up next to here. But I still feel like it's got to be something catastrophic with Marcus in terms of either performance or injury that gets him out of the starting lineup. Am I saying it's impossible? Absolutely not, because they've upgraded. That's the best option they've had behind Marcus in his time as a Titan in terms of a backup quarterback. But it is. It's completely different nationally to locally.
How do you see Marcus's play in this training camp compared to previous training camps?
He's had his moments.
The same, or is it just he's up and down? And
he's had his moments. I think he started out well. I think, you know, he leveled off a little bit, but you know, he clearly had the better day yesterday. If we're taking a micro snapshot of things, you know, I heard you guys talking about that earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. In Tannehill, who faced them 12 times in his career, and threw two picks yesterday, and one of them a pick six. The other one, and like David Beauclair said, was a screen that was tipped and, you know, deflection. But, you know, Marcus had the better day of the two. But, yeah, it's going to be one of these things where, and I think that's what's so important about what I'm calling the two-week tune-up. The second of these scrimmages today, the preseason game Saturday night at Nissan Stadium against the Patriots, and then next week getting ready for what is traditionally the dress rehearsal against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's great work against two quality teams to figure out what happens on the back of that roster. Because I think they know a lot about who's going to be that 53. It's that last half dozen spots or so, because they've got some very good talent in a lot of places. But those two teams are going to help them figure out their own stuff.
What about the rebound week that Taywan Taylor's had, you know, started – in the practices over the weekend after the Philadelphia game? He had a bad game.
He did.
There's no way to get around it. Titans didn't try to sugarcoat it,
yep.
Nor did Taywan. But he's really been one of their best players this week. Made two big plays yesterday against Jason McCourty.
That's right.
And Jackson, you know, they're one of their best cornerbacks who never gets blown by. And how much of a tribute is this to Rob Morris, position coach, and offensive coordinator Arthur Smith for coaching him up?
Oh, I think they get a lot of credit in this. And you're right, J.C. Jackson was one of the guys that had to pick six on Ryan Tannehill yesterday, as a matter of fact. But, yeah, more confidence, better route running, just in a small window that we saw yesterday. But, yes, he has stacked together a good week of practices. And I'm interested to see what he does Saturday night against the Patriots to help his cause. Because, you know, if he has a good rest of today and then has a good showing in the next couple of preseason games, he's going to make it hard on, you know, a group that, you know, the wide receivers, probably as good a wide receiver corps we've had here in a while. But it still may hinge on whatever's going on with Adam Humphries, who walked off of practice yesterday.
Any speculation on what that was?
Don't know. I didn't see it because there's so many things. It's like Ringling Brothers Circus out here.
What's wrong with him? He's just walking off.
Yeah. So I didn't see it. I didn't even realize that he had walked off until someone asked Coach Vrabel about it in the presser, because there's just so many things to see.
Well, lost in the shuffle, though, guys, right before we go to break, is the guard battle. Is there still a guard battle? Nobody's talking about it.
Well, I think there's so many other battles that lost in the mix. Because, like yesterday, A.J. Brown had the first full practice yesterday. That got lost in the mix. Yeah. But, yeah, as far as guard goes, listen, clearly Nate Davis has something going on. He hasn't practiced in 3 or 4 days. Kevin Pomfilo, I think, is your right guard until something changes or Nate Davis comes along. We know who the left guard's going to be. It's Roger Saffold.
But Douglas has played pretty well, too, now.
Oh, Jamil Douglas.
Ooh, he's
listen,
nasty.
He's had a great camp, and he has plugged in all over that line.
All right, we're going to take a break. 8:27 on the Wake Up Zone. On the other side, we'll take some of your calls. Lines are open, by the way. 615-737-1045. Brett Bryan, of course, executive producer of Titans Radio. Talking Titans Patriots scrimmage. 8:27 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. 8:33 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. out here at St. Thomas Sports Park, of course, the Titans training facility, where they will get back together with the Patriots for day two of their joint scrimmage. And, of course, leading up to the preseason game Saturday night at Nissan Stadium. But at least for this morning, 9:50 is when they'll begin. The public is welcome. Fans already starting to stream in on a much more comfortable weather morning as opposed to yesterday. Patriots, almost to a man, said the 92 degrees in Nashville was way hotter than the 90 that they experienced up in the Northeast. So kind of interesting to me. We have Rhett Bryan, Titans executive producer of Titans Radio. Rhettster, give me some of the best storylines that you've seen so far in camp.
Well, I think, you know, it always revolves around the young guys that are trying to bust this roster. But let's start with the guys that are returning. Rashawn Evans is, I think, the story heading into the preseason of a second-year guy that, you know, we saw Jayon Brown make a climb. Well, this guy's, you know, built, looks, acts, and plays like a big professional linebacker in this situation. He's a guy I've had my eye on from day one. Sharif Finch now becomes super important because one of the things that I'm concerned with is the lack of depth at the outside linebacker position on this defense, especially now that DeAndre Walker's on IR. You know, and you've got – it's just – there's not a whole lot of depth behind a 37-year-old Cameron Wake and Harold Landry in year two, but Sharif Finch becomes a huge part of this. But in terms of the undrafted guys or young guys, the Kareem Orr story, Isaiah Mack, the Chattanooga guys, you know, they're making some plays. I'm interested to see them make more plays Saturday night. I mean, but there's you can just throw a dart in any direction and find a story in this whole thing.
I want to ask you, too, and this was brought up, that with, you know, DeAndre Walker put on IR, and would they consider carrying just four outside linebackers with the versatility of Rashawn Evans and just the multiplicity of Dean Pease's amoeba defense, where he might be keeping more at a certain position group than you would think and maybe less at another?
I think that's a possibility. And the other thing, though he doesn't play on that second tier of the defense, Brent Urban comes into play because he can do so many things with the front three. But I guess it all boils down to it certainly is a numbers game in any position that you're looking at when you're trying to figure out the final 53 and certainly the 46 on Sundays. But, you know, Taylor Lewan is where all that starts because you got to figure out how many linemen you're keeping. And then you're going to cut a good player when he comes back, you know, after when week five cranks up against Buffalo, assuming that he loses his appeal. And, you know, I think all indications are he's probably going to lose that and have to sit out those first four games.
All right, let's go to the phones. Trent on line one. You're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good.
Hey, y'all were wondering what happened to Adam Humphries. I was there yesterday, my brother and I, and we actually saw him come off the field, and he had a little cut, about an inch and a half cut, right, like at the bottom of his calf. It wasn't bleeding too bad. It didn't look like he was, we're like, man, don't get hurt already, dude. Come on now. He was like, oh, we're good, man. He was like, I'm good. But then I guess he got off the field, so I don't know, man. But to me, it just looked like a small cut, and he said he was good. So that's all. That's the update I got.
You think it was a cleat that sliced him?
Yeah, it's got to be, doesn't it?
Trent, thanks for the intel.
Him, you know. Yeah,
good thanks stuff. For the intel. Yeah, I think he got stepped on in a pile or something there.
Yeah. A little paper cut.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, gotta get a Band-Aid.
And that's another story. You asked me about stories in camp. That dude, I think I've seen him drop one ball. I mean, it's, you know, you can clearly see why they brought him here.
Yeah, you know, his ability to get open and open quickly. And just because you think that a lot of the Titans passing game under Arthur Smith is going to be short underneath the stuff, he seems perfectly suited for that.
He absolutely does, and lots of short intermediate stuff. I mean, he is Johnny on the spot in everything that I've seen. So, well, I mean, look at Marcus's 8 attempts the other night. You know, four of them, you know, four completions were all to Adam Humphries. So That's just a small little sample size of what you, I think you're going to see in this thing.
What about the long shots? Go ahead, Blaine.
Well, I was just going to ask about A.J. Brown and what you thought about him finally getting out here to work a little bit and make some plays and what kind of impact he can have eventually if he's doing this for the next 3 weeks.
I think he can make an immediate impact in week one, provided that he, you know, comes back fully and has a good day-to-day and continues to work, you know, Saturday night and then next Sunday night against the Steelers. I mean, you've seen that guy. He looks like a linebacker or a safety. He doesn't look like a receiver. He's so thickly built. And watch him work the jugs machine. Watch him work, you know, the dude, he's got some mitts to catch. I mean, he really does. And he can make a difference. He really can.
I'm trying to figure out where he fits into the offense when we're talking about, okay, Delaney, then Adam Humphries, then, you know, Davis on the outside. Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming then Brown's going to be outside, or will it all things even? Or is it going to be Tyzae Sharpe? Or is it Taywan Taylor?
No, and that's the whole thing. That's why we're talking about Taywan Taylor needing to really come along, because it's a crowded field, right?
Yeah, I just don't know if he's going to be effective on the outside.
Yeah.
Brown, that is, as people are assuming that he can play outside, inside. I watched him really close. He's one of the players I watched closely. I just don't know if that's actually going to happen. I know he made those catches there, but those catches that he made were all uncontested as far as the quarterback with noise around him.
Sure.
There was no, you know, pass rush or anything like that.
Right,
so
right.
The way I watch his movement skills, just because you talked about just that right there about how he is built. Now, who is built in the National Football League that plays wide receiver like him? See, and that's where you start running, and there's a reason why that is. And that's why I say I think he's going to be more of a slot, because those slot guys are kind of those. They can be big. They can be small. You can get them any kind of way. He's basically almost like a running back, to be honest.
Yeah.
And that means most of those guys end up turning into slot jitterbug guys who can get in and out of their breaks and cuts. So I envision him there. And then to me, then that means who was out. Humphries is not out. And if Delaney's healthy, I don't think he's out either.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just trying to figure out where his body is going to come from.
And Blaine, you're right in terms of his body size would lead you to think that he can get stuff that is contested catch stuff and fight it away from a safety or a corner.
Yeah.
He's so big.
Yeah. Like Deebo Samuels. Yeah, he's like that modern guy.
That's, you know, that's a good.
You don't see a lot of those guys in the NFL. Right. Kind of filtering in. Where do they fit in? Is Deebo Samuels an outside guy? Is he more an inside guy?
Yeah.
What about the long shots, Rhett? You know, I bring up the Chattanooga guys, Kareem Moore, Isaiah Mack. You know, Orr originally went to Arizona State. I think he had 6 interceptions there.
He's All-American one year.
Yeah. So what about those guys?
Well, for a guy like Kareem Moore, I mean, you're talking about him trying to bust into a group. You had Kerry Combs on here earlier this morning. I mean, my goodness, how does a guy get into that group when you've already got a guy who is not a corner but a safety in an Amani Hooker who is going to figure into those final numbers and who is going to help not only in special teams but into that unit as well? You know, it's a tough shot for him. It really is.
What about Mack, who, again, they're calling him Jarrell Casey 2.0.
I'm telling you, you put a 99 jersey on him, and I don't know that you can tell him apart in terms of body size and body type. He's got to make more plays. That we've got to see more from him. He, you know, continue to make a case for himself. You know, and the not-so-long shots, you know, what about a Khalif Raymond? You know, We've been high on him, and, you know, it's more about what you can do in this thing and the more things that you can do. And if, you know, if he can help return punts and kicks and be a last receiver or what, I mean, he's going to make it interesting.
Always great to have you on, buddy.
Absolutely.
You're hydrated and ready to go today.
So ready to go take roll and see who's coming out here for the Pats and for the Titans as we get ready for the scrimmage. It's going to be fun today.
All right, be sure to sign the hoodie on your way out.
I did.
I'm telling you, that's become a major focal point of this show.